I hope you get a chance to read Luke 20, 9-18. We're going to look at the parable, what it represents, and then summarise afterwards. So the landowner is God the Father, the beloved Son who was killed as Jesus, the vineyard, the people of Israel, the wicked tenants, religious leaders, the rejected servants, or the prophets, and the cornerstone illustrates Christ as the foundation of the church. So in summary, here you can see that God is showing us what is wrong in the world. Jesus had told the parable of the people, but really it was about the religious leaders. Jesus was unhappy with them, and explaining how they kept trying to control the religion for themselves, but it is God who put them there in the first place, and it's God who can remove them from their positions. For centuries, God sent the prophets to advise and to witness to the people of Israel. The prophets were constantly reminding the kings of their calling to create a godly society, characterized by God's law of obedience, fairness, compassion, and peace. But the prophets were rejected and killed by the very people they were claiming to be of God. The big issue is that the religious leaders wanted to control the Jewish religion and use it to their own advantage. They had forgotten that the authority was delegated and that they were accountable to God. They replaced moral responsibility with religious rituals. Now, our God is a patient God, but the fall of Jerusalem has shown that God's patience had run out. There was such a clear demonstration of God's purpose for the world, yet the leaders were still rejecting him. This is the stone the builders rejected. We have entered into a covenant contract with God. God's plan for his world and for our lives is for us to be fruitful. We have a tendency to ignore his plan and pursue our own agendas. Remember, all of us, one day, we're required to account for how we lived. Have we been a good servant? Have we been a good and faithful servant? Certainly, we are undeserving sinners, but Jesus has saved us for a purpose, and this is to be his agents in this world. As his agents, what is the gift we can give back to God? So we know that the vineyard is the people of Israel, God's good leaders. Do you consider yourself to be the vineyard? Do you think you are bearing much fruit? If so, what fruits are you producing? God expects fruits from those that enjoy his blessings. His blessings produces the best vineyard fruits, consisting of our thoughts, our affection, our words, our actions and reactions. But we don't always get it right. Not all the time. What about the wild grapes? These are the fruits of the crooked nature, where grace does not work, but corruption will. It's when wrongdoing and corruption goes without correction. That's when the vineyards become unpruned, soon to be overgrown with thorns, producing sour grapes and pride and discontent. So what contract did we sign up to? Do we answer to God, or do we act like the religious leaders and try to ignore him? Are we a good disciple? And have we taken on the responsibility of spreading the good news? Sometimes we reject God's servant. We reject wise counselling, maybe too afraid to act on sound advice. Or we may have been that rejected servant where we've gone out, spread the good news, but no one had listened. Part of our problem is that we've picked up on the ideal about unconditional love, which is popular in our society, and we assume that's the only message. Everyone is ultimately accountable to God. He is the creator of all things, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. In his word it reads, "For if we would judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. We are all accountable to God. We've entered into a covenant contract with God. But what other contracts have you signed up to? Husband and wife, parent and child, employer and employee, pastor and deacon, or landlord and tenant? Whatever it is, remember ultimately who you are accountable to. Here in Woodgrange, we should be accountable to each other. I think most of us may have a prayer partner, but what about an accountability partner? The definition for accountability partner is a person who coaches another person in terms of helping the other person keep a commitment. As a Christian, we use the term in where the accountability helps a person stick to a moral commitment. So how can we have an accountability partner and how we can help and support each other? Well, first, you search for the right person. Choose someone who is non-judgmental, with whom you feel comfortable to share information with. If you hide things, then it defeats the whole purpose of having one. You should also be open to someone from a different background. Step two, once you have approached that favourite candidate, pick a day, time and type of meeting to meet up via Zoom, a walk in the park or a telephone call. Step three, you should create weekly accountability statements. For instance, I'll pray daily for 15 minutes before waking up, getting out of bed. I will read a chapter from the Bible every night before going to bed. Whatever it is, remember to follow up on all expectations and say when you're going to be doing it. Be consistent. So hold that person accountable, both for their actions and results. Put it down on paper. And if someone consistently fails, then move on. Why not try it? But anyway, I caught the end of a film the other day. It's called A Man for All Seasons. And it showed the final years of Sir Thomas More, the 16th century Lord Chancellor of England. He refused to acknowledge King Henry VIII as supreme head of the Church of England, and he refused to agree the annulment of his marriage to Catherine of Aragon. After refusing to take the oath of supremacy, he was convicted of treason and he was thrown into prison. Thomas More was called to trial, and before the sentence was announced, he said, "The unity of the church was the main motive of this execution. My second objection was that no man may be the head of the spirituality." Thomas More was sentenced to be beheaded, but before his execution, he wrote a beautiful prayer, and he told the onlookers to witness that he was dying in the faith and for the faith of the Catholic Church, the King's good servant and God's first. Thomas More was accountable to God, and God always remained the centre of his life. He was prepared to be rejected rather than disobey God's will. Are you prepared to be rejected? What do you see God telling you to do? Have you ever questioned whether your faith pleases God? Do you ask yourself, am I really bearing much fruit? And do I actually match up to what the Bible says I should be doing? Self-reflection is very important in a believer's life. However, life has a way of dismissing this important act. And with all the other demands we have to deal with, we just don't have the time. But are we doers of the word or hearers of the word? In the church setting, Accountability involves managing the resources God has assigned us with. And we do this with our gifts and talents, to spread the good news, to organise our service, our mission, or provide programmes to carry out the church mandate. So let us be reminded that our contract is binding to help people to grow in Christ and to learn to place him at the cornerstone of our lives. May we always recognise that everything ultimately belongs to him. Through our words and deeds, we are accountable to God. May we use wisely the resources he has blessed us with so that we return his investment in us with interest. May we bring forth the best fruits with love and patience, that in the end we may obtain everlasting life. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Amen.